Well, we're getting started. Jim and Heather, if you all want to, there's an agenda that was emailed to you from Helen last week, and that has everything we're going to be going through in it. Anybody else needs to access that, that was emailed. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order and welcome everybody to this meeting of the Smith County Public Library. Did everybody look over? What was that? Okay. Okay. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to this agenda as it is presented for us this evening? I have one little thing. I would like to add a brief budget committee report and a review of the library trustee handbook that we're all going to have a copy of after new business. Anybody else have an addition to the agenda? Okay. We need to vote on that. Motion to accept.
Second.
Second, all in favor of those changes?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, look at Jim using his, raised his hand.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm going technical. It's scaring me too, Rose.
We want to encourage you to use the technology, Jim.
That's great.
I'm on the gray headed.
We do have a little section here for public or guest remarks. Anybody that's joining us have any comments or remarks they would like to make at this time? Okay. All right. With that, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes. And those were sent to you in the email from Helen last week.
Move that be approved as sent.
Have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor of approving the minutes from last month's meeting?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right, now if you all would go to the next section, it's the approval of the disbursements that were sent to us via email. If you could just take a minute and look over those disbursements, if you have any questions. Does everybody have that in front of them? There's Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
There she goes.
Hi, Kristen. We have you.
Okay.
I think my mic is off.
You got it. We can see you.
There we go. I should be in now.
You're in. We can see you.
Okay.
We're just now on the approval of disbursements, and you should have an email from Helen from last week that gave you that list of disbursements. It's one page. Does anybody have any questions about the disbursements for the month of December? I'll give you a minute to look and see if there's anything. Okay, have you all had a chance to review those?
I have.
Tom has? Donna, have you?
I move that be approved as sent.
Does anybody want to second that motion that Tom made to approve the disbursements?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, Kristen, we have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Heather and Jim?
Yeah, aye.
Okay. These raising his hand. Well, that's awesome. He turns yellow.
I've muted ever since I hollered at my kids, and I don't want that part of the meeting, so I apologize.
You're fine. Okay. We'll move on now to the director's report. Rose, we'll turn the time over to you.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you all for doing our technology meeting tonight, and thank you for being tolerant of my absence. As you can see, I'm still here with my sling. It's going to be a little bit longer, but we're moving forward. The most important thing that we need to bring you up to date on is the COVID situation. As I mentioned in my director's report that I sent to you yesterday, we did have exposure in the Marion branch. People, you know, as soon as we learned of that last week, people left the library. Lots of folks went and got tested. Happily, negative tests have continued to come in, and people have stayed away until they've gotten their negative tests. So that meant that last week, towards the end of the week, we were down to two people, but Elaine and Linda heroically carried forth for us. Then there was more snow on Saturday, so Tracy was in on Saturday and ended up leaving a little early to deal with the snow, so we can get everybody home safe. So it's been, between COVID and snow, it's been a tough 2 weeks. We are still, we will still have our employee out until the middle of next week. Meanwhile, Byron yesterday fogged the library so that everybody could be in there today, with feeling safe and secure. And today ended up being a late day because of the snow, but it's okay. Everyone's there and happy and healthy. And so, we will, everything, services have continued despite these interruptions. We, on a related matter, have pursued with the county the access to the vaccine for library employees. I had an exchange with Sean Utt yesterday and today. And so today we heard from the emergency manager, Curtis Crawford, asking for a list of names of library employees. And Tracy sent those to him today. So hopefully that means he will be adding all of the library employees into the 1B category. So we don't know exactly when that means they'll get the vaccine, because there is still a shortage in the Mount Rogers district. But we want to get people access to the vaccine as soon as we can. And that's very much in keeping with what other libraries in the state of Virginia are doing. There's been a lot of sharing of information among different library systems. Pretty much everybody, including the libraries in our area, have been put in the 1B category. And I think that was persuasive to Sean when I shared that information with him. So hopefully we'll be able to get folks access to the vaccine as soon as possible. The other big event this week was getting our BiblioStat annual statistical report submitted to the Library of Virginia, and Helen was a true champ. Despite being under the weather and working from home, she enlisted allies to do research for her in the library and got it submitted. We got a few corrections requested from Kim Armentrout, but today we heard back from Kim that it was good to go. So we now have a certification that we have to take care of. But for all intents and purposes, the Library of Virginia has accepted our submission. As I said in my note, that's a very important thing for us, because it is the thing that gives us continued access to support from the Library of Virginia. And it's how they justify to the federal government how they expended the funds they were given. So that's a big annual hurdle that we got through, and we now know a lot more to be prepared for next year. The other big piece of work that I have done in the weeks between the last meeting, Christmas, and leaving for my surgery has been preparing the revised budget that I shared with you all before the meeting, or Helen included in the package for the meeting that we'll be discussing tonight. So I won't spend too much time on that now. Just to give you the headline items that you will have already noticed, because of COVID, you know, we are in the happy circumstance of having, you know, funds that will enable us to meet some other needs that we would not have had it not been for COVID. So, you know, between having three full-time employees depart and then having the furlough where we didn't pay salaries to part-time employees, there was a considerable savings in the salary account. But also it's played out in things like the water bill and the electric bill and the phone bill. So, you know, basically a lot of stuff, as you can see in that document, is underspent. So we can use this year, I think, as a good year to plus up the collections account and maybe meet some of our pressing needs for repairs and furniture and equipment. So I think next year will honestly be a tougher year, and so it's better if we can use those resources now. So that's the budget piece. We have continued to, you know, serve all three branches. The library team has done a terrific job. They have gone out above and beyond the call in doing curbside service. Patrons like curbside service, but I know all of our librarians and branches, you know, we have set days and hours when we have people schedule curbside. But in addition to those set hours, I know that all of our, both of our branch managers, Heather and Chris, you know, make special appointments to accommodate the schedules of patrons. In addition, we continue to provide the craft kits and activity kits for children and adults, which continue to be popular. Chris is also working with a group from across the library system to put together a special kit for February as a COVID care package that will stress mental health and wellness, that will provide both resources and information to patrons about some of the mental health impacts of the COVID crisis on all of us, but also direct them towards resources and information, and provide also information about nutrition and wellness. And so we'll be doing that across all of the branches, but Chris in Saltville had the initiative and is leading that committee for the library. Kristen was very helpful to me when I reached out to her for a steer on whether this was something she felt was needed and desired in the community, and she gave me a great endorsement, and that's very helpful to make sure that we are in fact devoting resources towards things that the community needs and is interested in. My elevator report continues to be painfully slow. We've continued to reach out. I heard today from ThyssenKrupp that they have had a communication with the elevator technician from the insurance company, the one who visited us back in December. And they believe that they have answered all of his questions. So now we just need the claims adjuster, I think, to make her determination. I have no reason to believe that it is not going to be accepted. I just, you know, I'm one of those people, I want that final answer, and I want the official confirmation that they're going to pay that claim. Meanwhile, Sean Utt did also brief the buildings committee of the Board of Supervisors about the need potentially for them to expend some resources, because even if the insurance covers most of it, we anticipate there will be some sort of deductible. And Sean's proposal is that we would split the deductible, that the county would pay half and we would pay half. And you will see in the budget that I put money aside for that, anticipating that we might have to pay part of a deductible. So the saga continues, but I have no reason to believe that it isn't going to come out the way we want it to. I think those are all my big picture items in terms of library operations. Happy to answer any questions.
Rosa, did you check into the PPP loans?
I have looked online, and it looks like we should qualify. But I was working on getting the budget done before the surgery, so I haven't actually filled out an application yet. But from what I found online, Tom, it did look like we should qualify.
And I have some information on that for you tonight.
Oh, great.
Well, the second round applications are being accepted now for the second round of PPP, so don't delay too long, because they might run out of money. Of course, the government's never going to run out of money, but...
But I think based on what I've looked at, you actually qualify for what they're calling first round PPP loans. They've added more funds to that first round. And just preliminary numbers, looks like it would be somewhere in the $140,000 range. Mm-hmm. 60% of that would have to be spent on payroll. Mm-hmm. The other 40% could be used for mortgage interest, which I don't see you have, and rent, which I don't see you have, and utilities. And so the one stipulation to it is on the date you apply, the number of employees, full-time equivalents, that number has to stay the same through the period that you choose for forgiveness of the loan, which can be anywhere from 8 to 24 weeks. And so in a 24-week period, you would probably use all of that just on payroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The number of employees would have to stay the same. And I brought this up tonight because I wanted to know, I wanted the board to tell us whether to move forward with it or not at this time.
I move we do.
Have any questions or a second?
What do you think, Rose?
If they'll cover our payroll for a couple of months, that's great. That allows us to reallocate those funds. So that's great. It will not be an issue. Teresa, when you mean stay the same, that means we can't hire new people, or you can't get rid of people?
You can't get rid of people. You can hire new people, but you have to you have to stay at the same level.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any question of that. We do anticipate hiring the accountant, hopefully in the first part of February. We still have the three applicants, and Tracy is setting up appointments that we'll have right when I get back. So we anticipate hiring somebody in the first part of February. So we will go up.
Okay.
There's a motion on the floor made by Tom to move forward with this. Does anybody want to second it?
Teresa, I have a question. If it's not used in the appropriate way, that is money that has to be paid back, correct?
That's correct. Okay. Any portion of the loan that's not forgiven, which it'll all qualify if it's used for the expenses they say it can be used for.
60% salary and 40% utilities,
essentially.
Yes.
Do you see that we're okay there?
I do. When I look at your payroll for a 24-week period is 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And when I look at 6 months of payroll on your financial statements right now, you're at $226,000, and that's just gross wages.
Uh-huh.
We include things like pension, some taxes, pseudo taxes, and all the benefits you pay.
So there's no chance that this would come back. I mean, what you're saying is we'll use it in the appropriate way and not have to pay that back.
That is correct. That's what I'm seeing based on the numbers on your financial statements right now.
Okay.
I do.
So Donna has seconded that motion made by Tom. Do we have a vote? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's a unanimous vote. We will move forward with that, Teresa, if you'll get that ball moving.
I will do that. Can you tell me, who is your banker of choice to handle this? And I will tell you, we've had better success with small hometown banks than we have with large institutions.
Well, who is our current checking accounts?
We have accounts with both Bank of Marion and Wells Fargo.
I would go with more local then. I think it would be nice to
You'll get much better service from the Bank of Marion. Wells Fargo, it'll take you 30 days to get through. Bank of Marion will have it done next week.
Well, that's Gallagher true. Cuts their time
yes.
I would say right. Bank of Marion.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Then we will move forward with it.
All right. Is there any other questions for Rose on this, on her director's report? If not, we'll move forward into the next section, which is the current status of COVID issues. And Rose covered a lot of that in her report. Do you have anything else you want to add to that, Rose?
No, I mean, other than to say that I, you know, when I think about it, I want to think about reopening criteria. I don't think that we're close to thinking about reopening yet, to be quite honest. I think, you know, obviously having the vaccine available and getting people vaccinated is a great, important step towards being able to reopen, but I don't think we're there yet. In my mind, you know, I've had March 1st as kind of as a little, you know, button on my calendar as maybe that would be good enough. But, you know, and I will come back to you at the February meeting with what I think are the criteria that should be in place to be able to make that decision to reopen. But, you know, it'll be things like, you know, the rate of vaccination, but also the rate of positivity. You know, we'll want to set a threshold and see it below that threshold for at least 7 days. Stuff like that, but I will come to you with the formal proposal for the February meeting.
Thank you. Okay, the next item in open issues is the status of the 990 for Smith County Public Library. Who would like to give that?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Unless you want to.
Go ahead.
Basically, it's just that it has been submitted, and we've signed it, and we've got the completed one. So they have submitted that in, so that is taken care of too.
Great. So that is done. Now we're down to the new business, which is a revised budget for 2020 to 2021. And everybody should have received that as well in their packet. I know a lot of work went into doing this budget, and it has been long, a long time coming. And I am looking over it. I see that it really does, you know, address a lot of the issues with, you know, we want to spend more money on our collection. We want to build that up. And I like, you know, what I saw in the budget. I know when I made that motion to approve a budget last year, it was with the understanding that a budget would be submitted that was more, you know, and a little more meat to it, and now I think we finally got that budget. So did all of you get a chance to look that budget over? There was a tab for revenues, a tab for expenditures, and a tab for salaries. And Rose, just while they're kind of looking to see what they've got in their emails, would you like to highlight some of the major changes that you made to the budget and your decision-making process?
Sure. And again, I have to thank Helen and Teresa. They were both invaluable as I was trying to collect the data that I needed to put this together. And a lot of it was kind of exploring and trying to figure out what different numbers meant and what they included and what they didn't include. The first thing I do want to point out is I used the November 30th financial report because I knew I wouldn't have the December 30th financial report in time to get the budget to you early enough for you all to review it. So the year-to-date numbers are through November 30th. And really my goal was just to try to understand, you know, what was our current rate of spending, and then try to project through the rest of the fiscal year to make sure we were covered. On the salary account, I did end up increasing a number of those line items because it looked like we were spending in some areas a little faster than had been originally anticipated. Unemployment insurance, for example, was one of those areas. So I increased those accounts, again, based on our pattern of spending through the course of the year, but decreased things like the health insurance because we did lose those three full-time employees. And so our rate of spend has been lower than was originally anticipated. So, you know, in general, I used the November 30th, you know, date, but then I also used the end of the last fiscal year total as my other point of comparison to see what was a realistic number. You know, as Margaret said, I was very much looking to find more money for the collection because in the original budget, our percentage of total spending on the collection was 7.8%. You know, no librarian wants to ever hear that you're only spending 7.8% of the budget on the collection. And there's no magic number, but, you know, in the library profession, you talk about 10% as your absolute dead bottom, and you try to shoot for something 25%, you know, is a nice, you know, target norm. So to be at 7.8% on our collection is kind of to be in crisis mode. So in my revised budget, I basically doubled all of that. And so the revised budget would put the percentage of spending on the collection up to about 20%. You know, and that'll be a one-off. We won't be able to do that next year, but we can patch some of the deficiencies in the collection. You know, the challenge for all of us, you know, and I'm going to be really honest, will be to spend that in the rest of this calendar, you know, the rest of this fiscal year. So we basically got February, March, April, May, and June. We got 5 months, so we'll have to, you know, accelerate our spending. I do want to add some more digital resources, and I know that we're not going to ever spend primarily on digital resources because internet access is still an issue in our community, but we could have more and better digital resources than we have now. So I will be looking for a few selective things. There is a very reasonably priced data bank of newspapers that would allow people to get access to online Virginia newspapers, including all of our local newspapers. And so they could access those through that subscription through our website. So I think that would be one thing that people who can't come into the library to access newspapers would be able to do that remotely. And there are a couple other, you know, we could add some more digital books. Generally across the library world, you know, digital books are getting more use during the pandemic, and we have not spent a lot of money there traditionally. So I would, you know, put some more money into some digital, both books to be read on a computer, but books to be listened to on a computer or any other device. It's not just a computer. It's an iPad or an iPhone or whatever. But those digital collections. And then I would do, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I would do some basic maintenance and repairs. The sign in front of the Marion Library needs to be replaced. It's just not very professional looking. And, you know, as you've heard me say before, Marion is not a branch. Marion is the main library in this system. And so we're going to need to replace that kind of temporary looking sign with a permanent sign that doesn't refer to Marion as a branch. So I would look to do that with this money, but also replace, you know, staff workstations, starting with the oldest ones. We probably need a new server. We have one server that will not be covered by the E-rate program, so we can use, again, the money that we're going to have this year available to be able to spend some of that money to replace that server. You don't ever want to wait for that equipment to fail. You need to anticipate replacement, have a planned replacement cycle, which we haven't had as best I can tell. So we will look to replace the oldest workstations, but also that server. That's my basic plan.
That sounds like a good plan. Like I say, I've looked through it in pretty great detail, and I thought it looked really good. The rest of you, what input do you have on what you saw in the budget? Is there anything?
Please do ask questions. This is my first time doing this. It's my first time doing this with you all. So I won't take questions as a criticism. I really am eager to hear what you think.
Well, I will have to say that it looks great when I'm looking, and I appreciate the notes that are out to the side. That's nice. It answers questions, so that's good.
Well, I found myself forgetting why I put numbers there, so I wrote them for myself. And then I left them for you all because I figured if they helped me, they might help you too.
I like those.
That was helpful.
Yes. It's a good looking budget.
I think it addresses a lot of our needs.
Yes.
And it anticipates ways we need to prepare for the future. So that's exactly what a budget should do. If everybody's had a chance to review the budget, I would entertain a motion to accept the proposed budget for 2020 and 2021. Anybody wants to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Dawn has made a motion to accept the budget, the revised budget. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Kristen, second. All in favor, aye. Okay, do we have any nays?
Are you keeping track of who's voting?
We are.
Yes. Put me down as abstention.
Tom is going to abstain.
I can't vote for my wife having less money.
Oh, okay. Okay, he's abstaining.
You don't want to get in trouble.
So, we got the votes.
Oh, wait a minute, Tom. Rita isn't getting less money, she's getting more money.
I still abstain because I shouldn't vote for it either way.
Oh, okay. So the thing that happened with Rita's budget is for some reason they put the vehicle as part of outreach, and I separated it out.
She just doesn't have the vehicle in her line item right now.
Oh.
Right. There was no vehicle line item in the budget that I inherited. They just included the vehicle in the outreach budget, but it wasn't, you know, I talked to Rita about whether it was that.
I shouldn't vote on it anyway.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to know that, in fact, I've given Rita money to buy videos for the outreach program and to buy more large print books for the outreach program.
Well, I understand that Valley called today and wants to get back in on board with outreach, so that's good news. I just heard that,
yes.
So that's great. Okay, so we now have an approved revised budget, which is wonderful. Thank you all so much for the work that went into this. It's so nice to have that.
Yes.
Well, thank you all.
Now that I've abstained, Rose, thank you very much. It was a great job.
Well, and I would like to point out one thing in just observation. You know, this elevator issue would have cost us, the quote was, what, $50,000?
Yep.
And the person who had the idea to go and try and get this paid for by insurance was Rose, and it happened in her first month of employment. So, just so we know, I mean, she's already potentially saved this institution $50,000. So, you know, it's great to have employees who have ideas like that. Otherwise, you know, it's just like, well, let's just get out the checkbook and write a check. So thank you for having ideas that are saving us money. And it really is appreciated. All of you that are working together to get us through this, it's just been great.
I ask a million questions. Helen and Tracy can tell you. I ask a million questions. And one of them was, don't we have insurance?
But you thought to ask, and I mean, that's something I maybe not wouldn't have thought of.
So. That was a $50,000 question.
That was a $50,000 question. Okay, we are going to, at this point, move Okay, before we do that, I wanted to add that budget committee report.
Yes.
After this, the budget committee, which is Patton, Tom, and I, we met with Teresa and Rose. And Helen was also in on that meeting a couple weeks ago, just because we wanted to get a better understanding of, like, our budget and what was involved and included in our contract or our engagement letter with Lawhorn. And so Teresa cleared up a lot of the questions that we had, and I just wanted to kind of pass that on to you all, what we found out during that meeting. We found out that within the engagement letter, and Teresa, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this.
Okay.
That included in our contract or engagement letter, they attend board meetings, prepare our monthly financial reports, do our bank reconciliations 2 times a week, including our CDs. They maintain a virtual office. They contract out our payroll services with ADP, which includes the 1099 and 1096 forms and W-2s. And also that it included software training on their accounting program Zero with Ann. And where Ann is no longer an employee here, there was a question as to whether or not they would train another employee. Did you find out the answer on that, Teresa, if another employee would be able to?
I have not heard back from the Knoxville office yet, but Mr. Lawhorn, Jason, is in Marion today and tomorrow, and okay. So I will be getting with him tomorrow on it.
Okay. And that training Ann received was 3 one-hour sessions. And we had a question that asked if did we pay for extra phone calls to clarify things, and the answer was not usually. Bill paying is not included in this contract or engagement letter. That is something we pay in addition to our contracted amount for the year. And it can be anywhere from, is it $65 an hour usually, Teresa? Is that the norm?
Usually,
but
yes.
It can be $120 an hour if another employee has to do it.
That's so correct.
Okay, and it does not include any of the audit preparation, is that right?
There was, when I look back over it, there's minimal audit time, which is basically trying to get together a set of financial statements that the auditor can start with.
Okay. And then I also learned that Helen said we are within the library doing what online bill paying we can without passing that on to Lawhorn to try and save some money.
Correct.
On that bill pay. And another thing that Teresa pointed out during that meeting is that we do have the option with a 10-day notice, either party to this agreement can withdraw from the agreement to have our services with Lawhorn. Is that right, Teresa?
That's correct.
Okay. So with that report, do any of you have any questions on that or comments? Okay. The last thing before we go into closed session is this handbook. All of you will get one. It's the new trustee handbook. And this has everything in it that we as trustees need to know in our role on this board. I would encourage you to read the whole thing. But there are some pages in the back, in the appendix. There's like a code of ethics for library trustees. It has golden rules for board members, some of our duties and responsibilities. It talks about what our role really should be as trustees. And one of the things is we're to work with government officials in procuring more money and more funding for the library. So I would just encourage each one of you to reach out anytime you get a chance to your board of supervisors or your town council members and try and highlight to them what services and our libraries provide to our county and our communities. There is another section, it's our role as an employer. And it goes over what our relationship with staff should be. And I think this is something that's worth reviewing tonight just a little bit. It's page 32. And I would anticipate at every meeting having a little bit of time set aside to review one principle from this book. But it says, a clear understanding of the relationship between the board and staff members is vital to the smooth operation of the library. Ideally, the relationship will be analogous to that of a corporate board of directors. It should be one of cordial and friendly interest, but at no time should the board or an individual board member intervene between a staff member and the director. The board hires the director to be the expert in management of the library, including the management of all other personnel. Policies governing job specifications, salaries, and other terms of employment are the responsibility of the board, while selection and supervision of personnel are part of the director's administrative duties. There may be occasions when staff members go around the director and take their concerns and complaints directly to the board or to an individual board member. When this occurs, so this is to all of us, if a member of the staff of the library comes to us individually without talking to Rose, this is what we should do. When this occurs, the staff member should be reminded that the board does not act on complaints from the staff except through a grievance procedure that is board policy. The proper procedure is to discuss the matter with the director. Any other action by overzealous board members will undermine the director's authority and probably produce the unhappy result of opposing factions and general disorganization within the library. So that's just one of the principles in the trustee handbook. And I think it's important that you remember we hired Rose as our director. She is in charge of all the staff, and anything, any concerns should go to her first. And if they can't be resolved with her, then they can, you know, come to us as a board. But that's just kind of what the manual outlines. And if you get a chance, go through the whole book and find out more about what it means to be on this board, because there's a lot in there. And there are videos online too that I think Helen said at one point, and then Rose, I think you sent it out again, the little videos and training. And we are going to try and get Kim Armantrout to do a training for us as board members on kind of what the expectations are from us. So I know that some of you don't have this yet. I know Heather
and Jim
and Patton. Mm-hmm. No, Patton has his. Heather and Jim don't have one. Who else needs theirs?
I think Kristen.
And Kristen, that's right.
Kristen needs hers. Okay.
So that's correct.
All right.
So you can either drop by Marion or for Jim and Heather, we can have them sent to Saltville and Chihuahua, or we can mail them to you.
What would you, Heather and Jim, how would you prefer to get this handbook? What would be easiest for you?
You can just send mine to Saltville. I use the curbside service quite often, so okay. I can get it that way.
Okay. What about you, Jim?
If you can just send it to Chihuahua, I'll pick it up there.
Okay.
We'll get that sent your way in the next drop-off. And Kristen, I think we could probably drop yours off there at your workplace if that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay. All right. With that, we're going to go ahead and entertain a motion to go into closed session. We do not need A7 legal. So if somebody who has this in front of them could read the motion to go into closed session just for the personnel.
Closed session if necessary. Code of Virginia Section 2.2-3711 to discuss A1 personnel matters, which can be discussions, considerations, or interviews of prospective clients for employment and contracts. Period.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
On a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Cannot. say one thing before I leave you on closed session.
No, go ahead,
if you get me a copy of that budget, I will get the updated numbers in the software. I also received the adjusting entries from the audit the other day, so I will be making those. So the numbers that Rose looked at for November may change a little bit. Those audit adjustments will go back to June 30th. So the numbers may change, but I don't know what those adjustments are at the moment. I haven't had a chance to look at them.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye,
Thanks, Teresa.
Now, the
Thank
other,
you.
Thanks so much, Teresa.
I didn't see Bye-bye. A vote on ayes and nays for closed session. Kristen, was it an aye to go into closed session?
That's yes.
Okay. Jim?
Yay for going into closed session.
Okay, and Heather?
Yes.
Okay. All right, with that,
Chris
and Helen, if you go ahead and get off the call, thanks for coming, and we can help. All right, I think Donna's going to read the certification to come out of closed session.
Whereas the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees has conveyed in closed session on this date pursuant to an affirmative record vote in accordance with the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas section 2.2-312 of the Code of Virginia requires a certification by the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees that such a meeting was conducted in conformity with the Virginia law. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees hereby certifies that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements by the Virginia law were discussed in the closed meeting to which this certification resolution applies, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion conveyed the closed session were heard, discussed, and considered by the Smith County Public Library Board of Trustees.
Okay, so that's a mouthful. All can vote in support of that certification, that's all that we discussed with personnel. Say aye.
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 Okay, with that, we will move on to February meeting details, and I want to say, Heather, thank you so much for working hard on the Saltwell thing. I know it was crazy, and the special election kind of threw us off this month, but we will go to Saltwell March, right?
Okay, yep, that'll work.
And I would like us to get on just a rotation to be able to every third month do that, you know. So March would be Saltwell, then June would be Saltwell, and just get in that habit. And the next month will be Chilhowee, right, Jim?
Yeah, are we looking at February and Chilhowee? And my two cents are, in Chilhowee and Saltville, do we have the connectivity that we have in Marion?
That would be something I would ask you to find out from the town council, if we can log into their internet access. Since we are doing a lot of virtual,
right, yeah. Are we going to have all the technology there that we have at Marion? So, we'll work on that.
Okay, if you can find that out for the February meeting, that will be February 18th at 5:30 p.m. Does anybody need extra time to get down there? We could make it 6 if we need to. Or are we good with 5:30?
I think 5:30 is good.
Yeah.
5:30
is
good.
No,
until
okay. So
are we going to have connectivity on every meeting from now
that's
on?
For right now, as long as this is an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until we get it under control and the rates start to come down. So we'll meet in Chilhowee, February 18th at 5:30. And thank you all for everything. I just want to note. Helen's back, okay. I just wanted to note, Patton is not here with us this evening. His mother passed away last week. So, I mean, those of you who want to reach out to him, just keep him in mind. I know that's been, you know, it's always hard. So just remember Patton, and you want to send him a message. All right, with that, we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Tom?
I'll second.
Second, all in favor? Okay, guys.
Take care, everybody. Stay safe.
Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Yes.
Thank you. Rose,
take care.
Good luck, Rose.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.